Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the commemoration of the faithful departed, otherwise known as All Souls Day. Today we will hear and reflect on the reading of the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, so please stay with us and we will be right back.
It may seem a bit early to tell you about this, but actually, Christmas is not that far away. The St. Patrick's Parish Altar and Rosary Society, 3350 South Alameda, will hold their annual Christmas Bazaar on Saturday, November 8th from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. It's an opportunity to get your Christmas shopping behind you early this year. There'll be vendors of many types along with arts, crafts, and baked goods to choose from, a collectibles booth, as well as a silent auction. For more specifics, call 855-7391.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Hard to believe we're already in November.
Yes.
It's a wonderful month.
Yes, it really is. It's a lot happening. There's a lot happening during the month of November, so we're very pleased to be here.
Yes, and how I personally think it's special that we have All Souls Day on a Sunday.
Right. It doesn't happen too often, about every 7 years, so we do have it, though, this year, and it does take the place of the regular Sunday readings in the liturgy, so we give precedent to the Feast of All Souls today.
And on that note, we're going to have a little departure. Instead of reading, having the gospel reading, you're going to do one of the second readings.
Right. I thought the reading of St. Paul to the Romans speaks of the whole mystery of our baptism into Jesus. And so I thought it would be good to just reflect a moment on that.
All right. Wonderful. Well, if we could, let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear the reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 3 to 9. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into his death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. For if we have grown into union with him through a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ raised from the dead dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You know, Bishop, you mentioned quite a while back that you would love to have a conversation with St. Paul because of his readings are
what
so...
What a memory.
Because his readings are so wonderful, and this one does truly impact today.
Right. And I, you may know that I was actually in Greece and Turkey in September and did some of the footsteps of St. Paul. We went to Corinth and to Ephesus. And when you look at the world that St. Paul confronted and faced, you know, it was quite amazing that he had the boldness to say what he said in the name of Jesus Christ and to come and bring that simple message of God's mercy and love, that while we were still sinners, which he also spoke of in the book of Romans, that while we were still sinners, God sent his only son. There was a lot of competition in religion at that time. There were temples to this God and that God and all sorts of pagan deities. And so it was a very confusing world. And yet St. Paul came in with that simple message. And of course, then as he moves on to Rome, he's facing an entire empire, you might say, with the Caesars and Nero and so many other emperors who really put themselves up as the god. So we have a really very complex world, and yet it's amazing to me how his preaching and, of course, his witness to the gospel and to Jesus and so many others really broke through, was able to break through and really enter into people's lives with a message of hope, with a message of God's love and a message of freedom. And so here we have one of those in mm-hmm. the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. And in this particular section, chapter 6, St. Paul is addressing the dynamic of baptism, which is the death and resurrection, the paschal mystery, we would call it, that St. Paul was explaining to them that by being baptized into Christ, you are also baptized into his death, which, of course, has a dual meaning here. He means that a death to the world in the sense of sinfulness, you know, to be in the world but not to be of the world, to be an influence on the world and not to be influenced by the world. And that really takes on a special meaning for us, because it's not easy to live in the world today, to be in it but not of it, to not be enslaved to the sins, to the evils of the society that surrounds us, just as he was not in his own day enslaved to that, but was able to bring a message that was one of mercy, of hope, but also of courage, to not fall into the sins of our modern age, of his modern age, and of course ours as well.
And when this, I mean, it was right here in the, as you mentioned, it says we're baptized into his death, and I had a visual of when you're at a funeral, you know, mm-hmm. the baptismal candle is lit,
right.
And also in the back of the church or
sure.
wherever, you know, it's the holy water.
Sure.
The priest sprinkles the holy water on the coffin.
Right. And, you know, in other religions, there's also purification acts before you enter into a relationship with God, before you enter into the worship space. In some religions, it's much more pronounced than in others, but where one would purify themselves, hands, feet, you know, physically, also leading toward an interior purification. And so baptism for us has that same connotation as we enter our churches with the baptismal water there, even blessing ourselves, not just as so often happens, as a matter of habit, but to be aware of what we are doing through the baptismal water, the holy water that is there. It's a cleansing rite of saying that we're entering into something special here in the church, whether we're coming for a visit or whether we're coming to celebrate the Eucharist, Holy Mass, today, for example, but to be aware that baptismal water is, again, reminding us that we have entered into this relationship with Jesus Christ. We've entered into his death in the sense of a death to sin and our desire to not follow the ills and the evils and the sins of our times, but to be a new person, a new creation. And then as we leave, we do it again to say we're now heading into the world to be that witness to Jesus Christ. The hour-long liturgy, or hour and 15 minutes at times.
Depending on where you are.
Hour and 30, wherever you are. And we should never, it's time well given to God.
Yes, it is.
You know, we should never see that as just a fill-up station
right.
for the week.
Mm-hmm.
But that's preparing us to remind us, speaking of the Eucharist, reminding us of as a memorial of God's infinite love for us, so that we can return to the world to be that love, a channel of that love to others. And so this is the baptismal dynamic, to live in Christ. I was just giving a retreat last week to some seminarians up in Missouri. at Conception Abbey, and it was a very strong experience. I told the rector and the spiritual director that whenever I give these to young people preparing for the priesthood, you know, or people in novitiate going into the convent or something, it just gives you a renewed hope mm-hmm. for the future, that there are young people today who are very serious about their faith, who in essence are taking their baptismal call very seriously to want to serve, but also to not live and be conformed to the world around us. And so on that one level of this baptism into Christ's death, we're speaking of our living death, you know, death mm-hmm. to the world, a death to sin, a death to evil, and living a committed life. And so St. Paul is referring in part of this letter to that call to live the life of Jesus in our own living flesh here today.
And it's challenging. I mean, it's very challenging, and it's something, as we've talked about before, our faith life is a journey. It's always a journey.
Right. It's very challenging. It's also a decision
yes.
that one makes, and mm-hmm. one doesn't make it alone. I mean, mm-hmm. when you're baptized into the community of faith. You're baptized with a commitment, and we have to take hold of that. There's no magical formulas. In fact, I've been keeping up a bit with the Synod on the Family, and several times in there, the Holy Father and others referred to, we have got to take our faith seriously. It's not just a matter of, I mean, the words were used kind of a hocus-pocus kind of thing. This is not magical formulas here. We have to take hold of our faith. We have to believe in our faith. We have to believe in the person of Jesus. We have to believe in the mission of the church. And we have to be cooperative with that together, not just as individuals, but together. And that's all part of that baptismal dynamic that we celebrate every day, that we should renew every day, that we are who we are in our identity with Jesus through our own baptism. And so we really should take that seriously. I mean, it's if we want to have any impact on the world, we have to take who we are and what our mission is as individual Christians, but also as a church, to take that seriously. Otherwise, we have little room to complain.
Right.
You know, it's always someone else's fault that the world is the way it is. But perhaps it's our own in some ways that we don't take hold of our own faith, our own commitment in that death to the sinful world that is around us, to the reign of sin, to the power of evil that can easily creep in to our life more today than ever through the different medias and mediums that come around us constantly. And so it's really up to us to die with Christ, which means to die to our selfishness, to the sinful world around us, and live in Christ, for Christ, and in doing so, live for others. Mm-hmm. This is the whole baptismal dynamic, the Paschal mystery that we're invited to die with him and rise. And after the break, we can talk about the other death that we're all conscious and aware of.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and then we will continue our conversation about the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
What is a pre-Cana seminar? It's a one-day marriage preparation seminar for engaged couples and couples married civilly for less than 1 year. It's designed to inform couples of the spiritual and practical aspects of a Catholic marriage and help couples focus on building a lifelong relationship. Diocese Pre-Cana seminars qualify for the Together in Texas program to promote healthy marriages. Couples who complete certain premarital classes and workshops are exempt from the $60 state marriage license fee. County fees, however, do still apply. Pre-Cana seminars are scheduled each month through December 13th at St. Peter Prince of Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road in the Annaville area. For specific dates and more information, call the Diocese of Corpus Christi Family Life Office at 882-6191. To register online, Visit diocesecc.org/precana.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, you said that this part of the segment, we're going to talk about the death that we're aware of for those souls that may be in purgatory and what our role is to help them.
Right. Yes, of course, that's the ultimate, the basic meaning of this day. Of course, yesterday we celebrated All Saints Day, which, well, I'm thinking of Halloween and Hallowedween and all that stuff. I mean, all these religious feast days, these basically started in the church with All Saints, are kind of been confiscated, you might say,
by
other cultures to, but, you know, All Saints Day, of course, it kind of been morphed into more of a celebration of Halloween and many other, the Easter Bunny for Easter. And so all of these kind of secularized images and events have crept into that. But certainly these feasts, such as All Souls Day today, is something that we should keep alive and important in our minds. So the question you pose about purgatory is, of course, an always current one in people's minds, and unfortunately, because of negative press from whatever age or whatever agency has crept in, gives it a distorted meaning. The whole thing of devils and fires and going straight to God and all of these things. But I think just to take a step back, and I'm not certainly influenced by my faith and the catechism, but with that, let me just explain it the way I see it myself in helping people to understand that God is a perfect being. God is perfect love. There is no mark of any kind of sin or imperfection in God. God is pure love, and that's something that's hard for us to grasp. Mm-hmm. To die, our destiny, our souls, let's back up a little bit, our souls are created for God. They are created for God. The journey of life is to journey toward that perfection that is God. Obviously, we all fall short, without condemning one or the other. Why take the plank out of, why take the splinter out of someone else's eye when you don't take the plank out of your own? So none of us has a right to judge or to say who's at what stage in life or what stage. This is totally contrary to our faith. But all of us are on this journey, and that's why we're here to assist each other in this life, but also in the next. So when a person dies, if we just use our reason, and they're not in that state of perfection, of perfect love, God wants us to be there. You know, Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, which is indicating the road to travel. So when we die without being perfect love, as God is perfect love, we need time to be purified, to be purified. In this life, we can cooperate with God's grace on the road to perfection. I was just reading the other day in one of the Psalms, you know, that God tries those whom he loves. I mean, if God didn't love us, he wouldn't test us here. So all of these are purifications. Jesus telling us to take up our cross every day and follow him is a challenge to self, to purification. So all of these helps. You know, we always think of help as being something nice and kind, but also the recognition of the cross, the recognition of certain difficulties, or should be a recognition of God's love, of the purification that he wants us to cooperate with here on earth. When we get to the point of dying, and if we're not fully there, and none of us will be, we enter into another state, the state of needing further purification in a passive way. So here we can be actively involved in that. In the next life, at the point of death, God's love embraces us, his mercy embraces us so much that we can be purified that way. And here on earth, since we still have our ability to act on our own, but also in the name of others. And this, there's evidence of this in the book of Maccabees, for example, of praying for the atonement of the dead. Then we have our part in assisting others in that purification, that passive purification that they are now going through the help of God, the ultimate help of God, but also through our prayers and our sacrifices with them. We're a body. We're a family. We don't stop being a part of this family and this body when we leave this world. We remain a body. And so it's only logical that we continue to pray for, we continue to work with, sacrifice for, help each other. Not in a magical way, but we're a family. And love knows no boundaries in this. So a person who enters the next life into a purgation, a purification, purgatory, it's a state of a final acceptance into the life of God for eternity, for eternity. So it's not something negative.
No, it's not.
It's not something to criticize, but even rationally, you know, I mean, we've many times said if you're not, you know, dressed properly to go to this or that, you need to get ready. Well, if you're entering into pure perfection, which is God, pure love, you want to be ready in order to experience the fullness of God without any mark, or we would say sin in us, any mark of imperfection that would disallow us to being totally in God and totally enjoying the beatific vision, which is the vision of God. That's the purification. That's what purgatory, not a place,
right,
but a, you might say, to put it in human terms, a process of final preparation to enter into the complete vision, the beatific vision of God.
So as part of that preparation, Bishop, and you've probably done this many, many times, when someone has their last confession before they know they're going to die,
sure,
and they have their last confession, is that also a way of having that?
Sure. You know, I mean, none of us has returned from the grave to, no, I've
right,
never met anybody who's returned the grave, right, to say how it goes. So,
right,
you know,
we don't know.
You know, we can only use from the scripture, the tradition of the church, you know, what is that experience? And it's been shown to us that, you know, beginning in the book of Maccabees, that there is this ability to pray for others, for the atonement of their sins, to do our part here, because we still can do that. Once you enter the next life, you're in God's presence. You're in God's mercy in his hands. You know, it doesn't depend on us then.
Right.
We've done our journey here. And so so that's where that is very, it's a very beautiful gift to be able to pray for others. And that's why we visit cemeteries. That's why we visit churches today, go to offer masses for people. Again, not as a hocus-pocus, kind of a magical formula, but as a sign of our love for them, our union with them, as God loves them as well. So it's to not forget. I think I probably mentioned this before, but St. Monica, when she was dying, she pulled her two sons aside, St. Augustine and his brother, and basically said, forget all these preparations of where I'm going to be buried and all that. I just want you to remember me at the table of the Lord. Remember me at the Eucharist, because there we celebrate in the mystery of the most precious Eucharist, of the body and the blood of the Lord, his presence there. We are one in heaven and on earth, the communion of saints. She understood, not being a theologian, I'm sure, but understood that union with Christ in the Eucharist would remain here, but in the next life, union with him in his presence, that through that the body of Christ, the church, the heavenly part, and the journeying part here, that we come together as one.
Mm-hmm.
And so ask them to pray for her in the next life as well.
What a beautiful vision.
Yes, right, right. So this is really the All Souls Day, and there's so many beautiful and rich passages in the scripture that help us to understand that.
Well, and the last part of this letter of St. Paul says, we know that Christ raised from the dead dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. It's a pretty strong statement.
But it's beautiful. You know, once a person dies, they can die no more.
Right.
It's done. Mm-hmm. And The beauty of that is now you enter into the total mercy of God. Mm-hmm. And if you still need that bit of, you know, shining up, perfection, purification, then here we are.
You have your family here on earth
right,
to pray for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And it's certainly not something negative at all. It's something that is a rich gift of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for clarifying that for us, Bishop. You know, this week also starts, it's National Vocations Week. And you had
yes.
mentioned, of course, that you were with some of the seminarians.
Right.
But it's usually another time of the year, but they changed it this year to the first week in November.
They did. It used to be in January around the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, but it's changed this year. So we certainly want to encourage any young people out there or any grandparents or parents to encourage their young people to consider a life of service, a life that is dedicated to Jesus and to his church. You know, one of the things I think we're learning more and more about young people is that they want to serve Christ. They want to serve a person. And so the call to a vocation comes from him. If he wants us, he wants us. And let's not turn our back on him. So I would encourage any young people out there or any parents, grandparents, to encourage vocations. As I've said many times, I would not do anything else. I've been a priest 39 years, and a bishop for almost five, but I wouldn't do anything else with my life but that. And it was so wonderful to see those young people at the seminary in Conception Abbey, so alive and so in love with Christ, with Jesus and his church. And it's just very encouraging. So it's a wonderful life, and invite any of you to consider consecrated life as a sister, a brother, a deacon, and also to be a priest if the Lord wants you to be one of his priests.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So we will pray for them. Bishop, if you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Will you read the prayer for vocations that we have for vocations? God, our Father, we thank you for calling men and women to serve in your Son's kingdom as priests, deacons, and consecrated persons. Send your Holy Spirit to help others to respond generously and courageously to your call. May our community of faith support vocations of sacrificial love in our youth and young adults. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.